You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Bay Area residents have spent almost 3 months sheltering in place, trying to slow the spread of COVID-19. But in the past week, many have felt compelled to break those restrictions. Thousands from San Jose to Oakland to San Francisco and beyond took to the streets to protest police brutality and ongoing systemic racism. On Monday, 15,000 people marched through Oakland. Today, demonstrators marched through the Mission District in San Francisco. The organizers of these protests have told community members to wear masks. But public health officials fear these massive crowds could still fuel COVID-19, and that could be particularly devastating to the same Black and brown communities most impacted by police brutality. KALW's Teresa Katsarilis reports.
John Jacobo was born and raised in the Mission District, and he's been concerned about police brutality for years.
I've been at the police reform kind of justice movement since they killed our brother Alex Nieto here in the Mission District on Bernal Hill.
Family of a 28-year-old San Francisco man who was shot and killed by police has filed suit against the city of San Francisco.
Nieto was killed in March 2014. He was a security guard, and police claimed he pointed his taser stun gun at them, which they mistook for a real gun. An eyewitness disputed the police's account, and Nieto's parents sued San Francisco for his death, a civil suit they eventually lost.
City Hall did not want a comment. The mayor never said a word.
We have done the meetings with police chiefs, with DAs, with public defenders, with politicians. We've done blue ribbon panels.
But the tension over police shootings right now?
This one is completely different. This energy is different. This vibe is different.
So when friends and activists from the Black community started reaching out to him, John says he felt compelled to help organize protests in San Francisco and to go to them himself.
Oh, we showed up right to the front of City Hall.
And as he was protesting, John couldn't stop thinking about something else.
This is not good for COVID. The stats for the Latino and for the Black community are terrible.
John is also one of the leaders of the Latino Task Force for COVID-19. It's a coalition of community organizers that launched a massive community testing initiative in the Mission District in conjunction with UCSF and public health officials. The task force tested thousands of residents for the virus. Of those who tested positive, 95% of them were Latinx, and none of them were white. A separate study found that 84% of the hospitalized COVID-19 cases at San Francisco General are Latinx, even though Latinx people are only 15% of the city's population.
We are overrepresented in just the amount of cases that we have, but for the Black community, it's just deadly. It is just significantly more deadly.
According to a recent report by American Public Media's research lab, the COVID-19 mortality rate among Black Americans is more than double the rate among white, Asian, and Latinx people.
If we know that this is in the Latino community, in the Black communities, and these are the communities that are uprising and meeting together, this could definitely lead to a stark increase.
Public health experts and epidemiologists are also worried. They say these protests could spark a second wave of COVID-19 infections. George Rutherford is the head of infectious disease epidemiology at UCSF and has been tracking COVID-19 since early January. When he saw protesters on the news, he was actually a little relieved.
Most of them had masks on. You know, would that on Memorial Day, everybody who went to the beach had a mask on, or those water slide parks we saw pictures of.
And these mass protests are happening outside, which helps. George says the virus spreads more efficiently indoors. That said, these protests are still an opportunity for the virus to spread.
The stuff I was seeing didn't appear very socially distanced. The second thing is people were yelling. And if you're yelling or singing, you know, then you're going to be expelling more particles.
Crowded, loud events like this have fueled epidemics before. In September 1918, the city of Philadelphia organized a massive parade in support of World War I, despite warnings from doctors about a particularly deadly strain of flu. 200,000 people went to that parade. Within 72 hours, every single hospital bed in Philadelphia was full. And George says some protesters are contending with an additional risk here.
The other thing is all the tearing from tear gas and pepper spray about whether that makes people rub their eyes more and potentially creates the situation in which they can move virus from their hands to their eyes.
Tear gas and pepper spray don't just make people tear up and rub their faces. They also make people cough and wheeze, which could further accelerate COVID-19 infection rates.
It wreaks havoc on the lungs. Like law enforcement, it's not us really that needs to change our behavior, it's law enforcement.
Kat Brooks is the executive director of the Justice Teams Network and a veteran Bay Area activist. She says she's been advocating against the use of tear gas at protests for years, and that the threat of COVID-19 makes that police tactic even more dangerous. Public health officials have urged the police to stop using tear gas during the pandemic. A spokesperson for the San Francisco Police Department says the force has not deployed tear gas during these protests. I reached out to the Oakland Police Department to ask if they plan to restrict their use of tear gas during the pandemic, but did not hear back from them before this broadcast. In the meantime, activists like Kat Brooks and John Jacobo have advice for community members who feel morally compelled to protest but are concerned about the health risks. Here's John.
I mean, I would say first and foremost, know thyself and know thy loved ones, right? Those are two solid commandments you can run with. If you yourself have pre-existing conditions or things that put you at risk, then it is, I think, your obligation to make sure that you're okay. Because if you're okay, then we have you in the fight for the long run.
If you're concerned about COVID-19, John says there are organizations or protester bail funds that you can donate to. Car caravans are also an option. John is planning to keep protesting in person. Kat has struggled with this. First, she decided against it. She says she's concerned for her health. She has a partial lung and asthma. Her 14-year-old daughter made a different choice.
She was like, Mom, I want to stand. It was this really interesting moment for me as a parent. I was like, okay, this is what you've been trained for. And so I told her, I was like, you keep 6 feet and you put on your mask. And she said to me, she rubbed my back and she said, I'm coming back to you and I would never endanger your life. You know, I just, sorry, I'm going to cry again. But I had to respect, as someone in this movement, that this is their time. And I got to trust that I've trained up my girl enough to know what she's got to do to keep herself safe.
Which means protesting, then isolating.
She'll have to do 14 days of quarantine.
I wanted to be there and I wanted to support my community because I have the ability to do that.
That's Jaden, Kat's daughter. She spent Monday afternoon marching through Oakland in a massive protest, which was organized by local students.
It was honestly just really beautiful. Everybody was just marching. Like, there was music playing and people were dancing as they were walking. People were passing out water, holding up signs, chanting. I'm glad, personally, that my mom is where she is, safe and at home. Because as much as, like, we should be there as a community for everything that's going on right now, it's not worth more Black and brown bodies being killed because of coronavirus.
For now, Jaden plans to keep protesting and live apart from her mom. Before she moves back in, she plans to go through a 2-week quarantine and get tested for COVID-19. But things are changing fast right now. And within the time it took to report this story, Kat decided to march too. She says the stakes right now are just too high to stay at home. In San Francisco, this is Teresa Cotsarillis for Cross Currents.
Teresa Cotsarillis is KELW's immigration reporter. Our justice reporter, Holly J. McDeed, contributed to that story.